We have been at this current message series called Iconic Summer. Iconic Summer. I had no idea that the Holy Spirit loves using props, visual imageries, to teach, to convey, to transfer the truths of the Lord God Almighty to you and me. Okay? And that's why we've been doing in this iconic summer. So we've gone through the books of the Old Testament, and we've looked at icons like images, logos like lamb, clothing, even serpents, snakes, and circumcision. That didn't go so well. And now, anyhow, today we're going to focus on tents. Well, the proper word is tabernacles. And I'll say more about that, okay? And I would like to encourage you to follow along by using the sermon notes. You can have access to the sermon notes by using the QR code in front of you. Okay? So here's my opening question. When you asked around earlier today, hey, what sparks joy in you? What responses did you get? Let me hear you. What sparks joy in you? What did they say? Food. Singing. One at a time. Being a Christian. Family. All right. One more. Laughing. Okay. Would you say there's a difference between rejoicing and being happy? I think there is. Significant difference. In fact, the contrast is stark. Happiness is something you feel because of your surroundings. Like, I feel happy because I got an A on my paper. I feel happy because I went on a date. I feel happy because what's happening around you. Okay? Is that fair? Yeah? However, the word happy or happiness comes also from the word happenstance. It's happenings around you. So when they don't happen, you don't feel the emotion of happiness. Joy is entirely different. The biblical definition of joy is you feel joyful, you become joy rejoicing because not what's happening around you, but because what God has done inside of you. Something God has done in the past, something God is doing continually in you right now, and something that God will do in the future, because of that, the acts of God, you feel joyful. And that's why happiness is circumstantial. Joy, rejoicing in the Lord, is always constant. And that's why you should rejoice when you receive a C on your paper. You could rejoice when you don't get dates. You could rejoice when you don't have your favorite food, because joy is something within you from the Lord. It's an act of God of the past. It's an act of God presently. And it's an act of God in the near future. Joy is so important. In my research, I've learned so much about rejoicing in the Lord. One scholar by the name of Martin Lloyd-Jones, he said, joy is one of the true marks, the mark of being a true Christian. I'm not talking about churchgoers. I'm not talking about people in the church. I'm not talking about who check the box, my religion is Christian. No. When you are a true born again, authentic, bona fide follower of Jesus Christ, they will know you by the mark of joy. Let me put it conversely. If you do not exhibit joy, if you don't find yourself being joyful in the Lord, you should ask the question, am I a true, born again child of God? Or am I just going through the motions of coming to a church or following my tradition or just because mom and dad did what I'm gonna? Okay? Before I go on, let me ask you a question. If I went to the person that knows you the best, who might that be? Your spouse? Your siblings? Your best friend? Maybe the person sitting right next to you. If I asked that person, would you find him or her a person of joy? What would they say? Would you find you a person who is characterized by someone who exudes joy? What would they say? Would they say, oh, yeah, for sure? Or what would they say? Sometimes. Or would they say, not usually? Or would they say, no, she ain't that, he ain't that. To the contrary, that person's really, really gloomy. In fact, he sucks joy out of me. What would they say? For the rest of the time that we have together, by the help of the Holy Spirit, I pray that you and I, our eyes are open, our ears are open, our hearts are receptive to the truths of the festival of tabernacles. Hence the tents. Tabernacles. It's one of the festivals, feasts, that the Lord said, observe, celebrate the feast of tabernacles. Following the sermon, there will be a time for you to submit questions for Q&A, and the number is up on the screen. But would you join me in a short prayer? Oh, Holy Spirit, may we be attentive to your voice today. May I be used by you, Holy Spirit. Make me a channel, a conduit of your voice this morning. Help us to see the joy of the feast, the festival of tabernacles, in and through the person of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. And God's people said, amen. The word of the Lord comes to us from the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, by the way, would you pay a close attention when you hear the words, when you see the words like rejoice, celebrate, feast, festivals, okay? Because you will see these key words which all point to rejoicing and celebrating. Say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the 7th month of the Lord's festival of tabernacles begins, and it lasts for 7 days. How long does it last? It's a long party. Have you been to a party that lasted 7 days, day and night? No, you haven't. Well, here's one. The first day is a sacred assembly. Do no regular work. For 7 days, present food offerings to the Lord, and on the 8th day, hold a sacred assembly and present a food offering to the Lord. It is the closing special assembly. Do no regular work. So here's what I'm picturing. Okay? The Lord wants us to rejoice, celebrate, enjoy this party for 7 days. It will be so filled with rejoicing. The Lord says, we're going to start with the Sabbath first. You're going to rest in the Lord on a sacred assembly. And then we're going to party for 7 days and night. We're going to eat, drink, dance before the Lord. And on the last day, we're going to have another day of Sabbath rest. How many of you like to go to that kind of party? Only one. Okay, I will join you. Now, in the same chapter, the Holy Spirit repeats the exactly same thing all over again. Why? And that's because when there is importance, he repeats. Often I say to you, when you are reading the Word of God, and when you come to a repetition, pay attention. So here is the repetition. Listen, verse 39. So, beginning with the 15th day of the seventh month, after you have gathered the crops of the land, celebrate the festival to the Lord for 7 days. See, again, on the seventh month, which is in your calendar, late September and all the way to October, time of harvesting, right? Time out. I am humble enough to receive criticism from you, but when you do that, be sure you're right. When the Bible says on the seventh month, that's the Hebrew calendar, you ding dong. In your calendar, in the Gregorian calendar, that's September, oh my goodness, September and October, it's the time of harvest. Got it? May I move on? May I move on? Now, where was I? Where was I? Bumba. Seventh month. Okay. Repetition. So, receive. So, beginning with the 15th day of the seventh month, and what month is that in our calendar? September, October. After you have gathered the crops of the land, celebrate the festival to the Lord for 7 days. Repetition again. The first day is a day of Sabbath rest, and the eighth day also a day of Sabbath rest. On the first day, you are to take branches from luxuriant trees, from palms, willows, and other leafy trees, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. So something like this. At the festival, the Feast of Tabernacles, bring branches that symbolizes God's blessing and harvesting. And he says, rejoice before the Lord. How do you rejoice with branches? You dance before the Lord. That's what he means. He says, rejoice in my presence by dancing, rejoicing. Verse 41. Celebrate this as a festival to the Lord for 7 days each year. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Celebrate it in the seventh month. And here is the imperative, verse 42. Live in temporary shelters or booths or tents for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in such shelters. So, here comes the purpose, the reason. So your descendants, your children will know that I had the Israelites live in temporary shelters when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you. So would you please, in your sermon outline, write these words, the theme and the goal. Rejoice and celebrate, the key theme. Rejoice, dance, eat, drink, revel, and celebrate what? The feast, the festival of tabernacles in the person of Christ Jesus. That's it. If you walk away today and if someone asks you, hey, what did the preacher talk about today? That's what you say. We heard from the Holy Spirit that we ought to live by rejoicing, celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles in the person of Christ Jesus. Let's talk about the key theme. Repetitions. Verse 33. The Lord's Festival of Tabernacles, right? Okay. Feast. Verse 39. Celebrate the festival. Now, for 7 days, but key phrase here, key word here, is the preposition to. He doesn't say, celebrate yourselves, does he? He doesn't say, rejoice in you, does he? He says, celebrate to the Lord. It's something that we do to the Lord. And I got to say more about that. And verse 40. On the first day, you are to take branches from luxuriant trees, from palms, willows, and other leafy trees, and rejoice, what? Before the Lord, in the presence of God, not in the privacy of your bedrooms or in your living rooms. No, before God's presence, rejoice and celebrate. And lastly, verse 41, celebrate this as a festival to the Lord for 7 days each year. We're going to read verse 42 together. This is the key thing. Would you read with me verse 42? Live in temporary shelters for 7 days. Imagine this is the temporary shelter, the temporary booth, the temporary tent. The Lord says, you and your children every year for how many days? 7 days. 7 days. Live in this temporary shelter, tabernacle. Eat in it, sing in it, dance in it, sleep in it. You ought to do it as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come, so that you may rejoice and celebrate. Question: why is it so hard for us to rejoice? I find it hard. I think most of us find it hard, because we often associate, we replace, we mistake ourselves, we mistake by thinking, well, it's about happiness. Things aren't happening around me, and therefore I am not rejoicing. And again, the Lord says, it's not what's happening around you, which is happiness. Rejoicing is something that is happening inside of you, because what God has done in the past, what God is doing today, and what God, your Father in heaven, will do continually in the coming years and the days and the future. So what do you do? What do you do? What do you do when you don't feel like rejoicing? What do? You find it really hard and challenging to come up with reasons for rejoicing. What do you do? What do you do? You fake it? What do you do? Well, here's one answer that I found. Would you write these words? Very important. Rejoicing and celebrating are more than spontaneous emotions. Did you catch that? It is a feeling, it's an emotion, but it's more than that. Then what is it? They are a learned action, or may I say, learned behavior. You train yourselves, you discipline yourselves how to learn, how to rejoice. You learn it. It doesn't come to you naturally. The act of rejoicing and celebrating to the Lord, therefore, is a fitting response to the grace of Jesus Christ. There. That's a good understanding. What do you do when you don't feel like rejoicing? What do you do when you can't find the reasons for rejoicing? What do? You learn, you train yourselves, you discipline yourselves to do what? Remembering what Christ has done already in you, for you. And therefore, you recognize, you learn to see, well, if that's what he has done in the past, an act of grace, and therefore, that's what Christ is doing in and through me, and therefore, I can learn to behave, to act, how to rejoice. I want to share with you in three ways from the text that we read this morning from Leviticus chapter 23, three ways by which we can learn to rejoice. Are you with me? Can we go? Let's go. Number one, therefore, rejoice and celebrate for God's provision. There are three P words. The first P word is provision. Let's do this. Verse 39. So beginning with the 15th day of the seventh month, after you have gathered the crops of the land, celebrate the festival to the Lord for 7 days. So this is a picture, which you will see up on the screen, things that you will see during the harvesting times of Israel 2,000 years ago. So palm trees, leaf trees, luxuriant trees like these. But then, so you see yellow, lemon, kind of squash-looking fruit. Okay, it's called lulav. Say lulav. It's bigger than this squash. It's yellow. It's one of the spices that the Lord says to use in your cooking during the harvest, during the Festival of Tabernacles. So there's lots of meat, lots of food, lots of drinks, wine, and all the good stuff. And that fruit contains that really unique spice, along with all kinds of things that you see here. Okay? Now, here's the point, I believe. When you remind yourselves, every good gift in you today, it's a provision from the Lord. Consider anything that's good in your life. Like your clothes. Nice clothes today. Sunday clothes today. That's from the Lord. Remember what you had for breakfast. God's provision. Remember the house in which you live. The apartment, the condo. None of you is homeless here. Remember what he has given you already. But oftentimes, what do? We focus on what we don't have. Am I right? We focus on what we don't have yet instead of focusing on remembering, reminding ourselves what we already have received from the good Lord, our Father in heaven. Is your health a good thing? That's from the Lord. The health you have, it may not be perfect, but that's from the Lord. So when you say, "Oh, I wish I could have a steak. I don't have a steak. The last time I checked the price of beef at the supermarket, oh my goodness, I almost fainted." So therefore, poor old me. No! Think about what you could have today. Rice and beans. And you say, "Thank you, Lord. You set this before me." I'm pushing 29. And my body is not what it used to be when I was 19, okay? I could focus on, "Oh, my joints hurt. Every morning I wake up and I'm grunting, and my wife goes, 'Are you okay? What? You're grunting.' I was. I had no idea." Rather than focusing on what I don't have, I focus on what the Lord has given me today. I'm no spring rooster, and yet I can walk. I can enjoy whatever the Lord has given me. You got it? So focus on God's provision. Turn to your neighbor and ask this. Do you tend to focus on what you don't have yet? Or do you focus on what you already have received? Go on. Go for it. Okay, let's resume. So again, the theme and the goal is learn, train yourselves, discipline yourselves how to rejoice and celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles in the person of Jesus Christ. So second point, second P word, rejoice and celebrate for God's people. Don't miss this. Verse 35, before the 7 days of celebration, what starts first? A sacred assembly. Verse 35. The first day is a sacred assembly, the Sabbath day. Do no regular work. Keep, observe the Sabbath holy. For 7 days, present food offerings to the Lord. And on the eighth day, hold another sacred assembly, congregation, the Sabbath day, and present a food offering to the Lord. It is the closing special assembly. Do no regular work. When you remember, when you remind yourselves whom the Lord has surrounded you with, God's people. See, this is why the Lord says, observe the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a set aside, holy, sacred congregation or congregating or assembly. We gather together today on the seventh day because the Lord commanded it. And why? So that you may learn to rejoice and celebrate for God's people, period. We live in this North American context where it's all about consumeristic mindset. What's in it for me? What do I get from this? No, people, listen, when we gather together, you get to rejoice. You learn to celebrate because of the people of God that surround you. Like today, when Agnes prayed for John's mom, who's having a surgery tomorrow, that builds you up, that builds him up, and that builds up the person for whom we are praying. Therefore, when you miss the Sabbath day, when you miss the sacred assembly to the Lord, for the Lord, it's not only are you robbing yourselves, but you're robbing everyone, the body of Christ as well. And that's why it is so important for you to learn how to rejoice and celebrate as you keep the Sabbath together. Let me take you to the book of Deuteronomy. So the instructions about the Feast of the Tabernacles is in Leviticus, but also it is found in Deuteronomy. Check this out. I was blown away when I found this out. Verse 13. Celebrate the Festival of Tabernacles for 7 days. After you have gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your wine press, be joyful at your festival. And guess who's included? You, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, slaves, and it gets more. The Levites, who are the Levites? They're the priests. Priests are the people among the tribes of Israel who did not receive the inheritance of land. So they don't get to produce crops. They relied on the Lord to provide. And how did the Lord provide? Well, how did they eat? Well, the foreigners, the immigrants, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns. For 7 days, celebrate the festival to the Lord, your God, at the place the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all the work of your hands. And your, let's read it together, joy will be complete. So whom should you invite to your tent? When you prepare meat, when you prepare wine, when you prepare all that good stuff, the Lord says, invite whom? Your family, sons and daughters. You may not want to, but you should. Okay? Whom else? Whom else? Foreigners. Immigrants. Legal? Illegal. Doesn't matter. Fatherless. Orphans. Widows. Single moms. Single dads. Children who have no parents. What's the point? Invite people who are poor. Invite people who are marginalized. Invite people who are powerless. And you invite them under your tents. And you live with them for 7 days. And you feed them. Why? So that your joy will be complete. Don't miss this. Friends, the reason you are not rejoicing, the reason you can't find the reasons to express living this joy and celebration is, one reason, not the only one, is you are not inviting the poor and the powerless and the marginalized into your tent. Because when you do, you will learn, you will experience the heart of your Father in heaven. It's so true. It's so true. And that's why Jesus says, giving is more blessing than receiving. When you give, when you are generous, when you show hospitality, you experience the person of Jesus Christ. I'm going to show you the highlights from the block party last week. Last Sunday, we, as the body of Christ, the church family, we gathered together. We said, let's bless our neighbors in Otwell, in Capilano, in Forest Heights, all over here. So what did we do? We shared food. We shared drinks. We brought animals. One of the most popular things at the block party was the petting zoo. Children loved it. So let's roll the highlights. Hit it. One of my highlights was Sunday prior to the block party. Ahmad, you be my witness. He and I went around, invited the neighbors door to door. Okay? We would ring the doorbell. I was surprised how many young families live in this neighborhood. Oh, please come and receive our hospitality and our generosity. There'd be barbecue, petting zoo, and, you know, tattoos, live band. I said, oh, thank you so much. Then we went to another house. Ding dong, no response. Ding dong, no response. And we were about to leave, but then we heard something. The door opens. An old gentleman in a walker. He came to the door. Okay? He opened. So we want to invite you to the block party. And he said, oh, thank you so much. One of those elderly people came. And he came all by himself. Again, I'm just describing what I saw. Elderly man walking gingerly with a walker came, ate, received our hospitality. I don't think he went to the petting zoo. I don't think he got a tattoo on his face. But what he did get was our welcome. And I thought to myself, I wonder how many adult interactions this man gets in a week. I don't know. All I'm saying is we opened up ourselves and we shared God's goodness, Jesus' generosity and hospitality with the people who are lonely, with the people who are powerless, with people who are marginalized. And that's why Jesus says, when you host a luncheon or dinner, don't invite your family. Don't invite important guests. Don't invite people with whom you can network. Why not, Lord? Because when you invite them to your home and when you eat with them, they will invite you back to their home. That's how that works, right? I invite you, you invite me back. We're going to network. Oh, he could help me move up the ladder. Maybe I'll just interact with, okay? We reciprocate that. But Jesus says, no. When you have lunch, when you have dinner, invite the poor. Invite the orphans. Invite the single moms, single dads, elderly, who cannot invite you back. Then great is your reward in heaven. Then I will reward you, and your joy will be complete. So friends, that's the second point. Rejoice and celebrate for God's people. Amen? So, before I move on to the third point, I just want you to plant a seed in you. Whom will you invite next time when you host a luncheon or a dinner? Not only those who can invite you back, but invite those who have no means to invite you back. Do you have that name? You see a face? Next time. Third point, last point. Rejoice and celebrate for God's promises. That's a third P word. Provision, people, and God's promises. Look at verse 41. Celebrate this as a festival to the Lord for 7 days each year. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Celebrate it in the seventh month. Live in temporary shelters for 7 days. Live in tabernacles for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in such shelters. So your descendants will know that I had the Israelites live in temporary tabernacles, shelters, when I brought them out of Egypt. Would you read the next line, please, with me? I am the Lord your God. One more time. I am the Lord your God. Promises of God. When the Bible says, I am the Lord your God, in Hebrew, okay, God means Elohim. Here's a slide for you. God in Hebrew means Elohim. Lord in caps. It's not to be uttered or read or pronounced because it's such a holy self-designating term by the Lord for himself. We just spell it. And hence, the Bible translators wrote the word the Lord in caps. Or some of you have heard the word, Hebrew word, Jehovah. That's the same word. Or Yahweh, that's the same word. The Lord. It is God's self-designating, very unique name for his people. Because he made a promise. He made a covenant by saying to Abraham, I will be your God. And I will be the God of your descendants. And when you become slaves in Egypt for over 400 years, I will come and I will remember my promise that I made with you, my covenant that I made with you. And I will be a covenant-keeping, promise-keeping God for you because I am the Lord Yahweh, Jehovah. God made it promise. So when you find it hard to rejoice and celebrate because you don't have whatever you want yet, don't focus on what you don't have, but focus on what God has promised. And what has He promised? That He'll be your God. He will provide for you. He will give you meaning and purpose and joy in your life. You will be a blessing, He says, and I will bless everyone around you. And that's how we learn to rejoice. The Torah, that's a Hebrew word, the Torah refers to the first five books of the Old Testament. Okay? They are Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Look up here. So Genesis, creation account. God made the heavens and the earth. He made people. And there in the book of Genesis, God made a promise to Abraham. I will be your God, and I'll be the God of your descendants. And through your seed, I will bless all nations. That's the person of Jesus Christ. Exodus. They're enslaved in captivity. God comes and He rescues them, right? He delivers them out of the bondage of slavery. And now, for the next three books, Leviticus, Numbers, they're in the wilderness. They're traveling for 40 years. And they're always, always, God is saying, remember my promise. Remember my covenant. Remember my promise. I will be true to what I promised. Leviticus, Numbers. Finally, in the book of Deuteronomy, in the fifth book of the Old Testament, that's when they arrive into the promised land and God's promises has come to pass and God remembers, reminds you and me. When you focus on God's promises, we will rejoice. The theme and the goal, rejoice, celebrate the festival of tabernacles in the person of Christ. See, look, let's land the plane with Christ. Always, always, always. Christ, those three PP words, provision, people, promises. Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the Creator God, the Redeemer God, the Holy God, God Himself, He became one of us. In the book of John, chapter 1, it says, Jesus Christ dwelled among us. That word, dwell, is actually tabernacled. God came all the way down, and He pitched a tent. He lived in a tabernacle within you, with you, before you. And by so doing, we became His people, God's people. And yet, He was forsaken by God the Father for your sake. Provisions. Rejoice and celebrate in God's provision. Bible says, 2 Corinthians, by the poverty of Jesus Christ, through His poverty, you have been made rich. He became poor. You know, He lived as a poor man. He lived as a homeless. When He died, He owned nothing. Through His poverty, He provides for you and me. Promises. God said, Son, obey me, and I promise you will experience hell. Obey me, Son, and I promise that you will suffer the crucifixion. Obey me, Son, and I promise that you will be forsaken by me. Why? So that we may come into the promises of God in their fulfillment. And therefore, friends, it's about Christ. Remember the person of Christ so that you may rejoice and celebrate. Pray with me. May I give you a time and a space now just to reflect and find what the Holy Spirit may say to you individually, uniquely for you, perhaps? Would you ponder? Lord, what is it that you want me to just focus on today? Just one thing, Lord. Ask in your heart, and he will reveal it to you. Is it about the provisions? Is it about the people? Is it about the promises? Do you have it in your heart? Has the Holy Spirit given you that picture or the word or the phrase? Receive it. Receive it. Father in heaven, we give you all the glory. We have so much. We have received so much. So we always remember, remind ourselves, we focus on the person of Christ, what he has done, and what he is going to do continually in us, but also through us. May your name be glorified. In your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Please rise with me, and let's sing Promises.